I went to Somerset, Pennsylvania to camp meeting, to book revivals, just fresh out of college. And one of the old preachers, you know, he thought he would get my goat. And he said to me when he was going to book me to come to his church and preach revival, said, "Now you have to preach what I tell you to preach." But somebody put me wise that he does this to all the young preachers. I said, "All right, Brother Kittle, just get him in the mail a couple of weeks ahead so as I can know what to preach on." And I walked away. Taught him a lesson. But when the Holy Ghost gets in the matter, the Spirit of God gives leadership. He knows what we need. And he can talk to his servant and share with us the messages that we need for in our own hearts. Revival. Anybody ever been in a revival? Yeah. Anybody ever had a revival in your own heart?
Amen.
Yes. We're going to talk about it this morning. Christian revival. Now, it's amazing. You punch in revival on your computer, all kinds of things come up. Fashion revival and architectural revival, and we're talking about Christian revival. It's a term that generally refers to a specific period of spiritual renewal in the life of a church. How many know the churches can get in a rut? My dad's definition of a rut was a grave with both ends knocked out. And we can get to used to doing things as a church in a certain way, and well, after a while, people go home and say, "Same old thing. Same old thing." Do you ever go to your kitchen table and sit down when mom or wife or somebody has cooked dinner and look up and say, "Same old thing"? I'm telling you what, when I went to the table the other evening, I could smell them from down in my study. Sliced potatoes and onions being fried in the pan. I've eaten them all of my life. It wasn't the same old thing. This was a new batch. Amen. So, not only do churches get in a rut, people get in ruts. Reading your Bible. Flip through right quick. Get my 5 verses in. Done for the day, Lord. Same old thing. Hello. Or we want to talk to God and we're going to have prayer, and the alarm went off 5 minutes late. Or we pushed the snooze button and, "Oh my, I don't have time this morning, Lord." Work hard all day long, come home, it's time to go to bed, and we're tired and wore out. "God, I'm tired tonight, see you in the morning." Same old thing. So we can get in a spiritual rut. Need spiritual renewal in our lives. That's revival. During such times, sinners repent of their sins. Anybody here ever had to do that?
Amen.
There's some that haven't put their hands up yet. We're going to have repentance after church.
Amen.
How many has ever seen a sinner repent? Come to God and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I need to be saved. They accept Christ as their spiritual Savior. Change their lifestyle to become a Christian. Also in revival, the saints who becoming spiritually cold are renewed in their service and their commitment to God. Now in the American colonies, the first great awakening was a spiritual renewal that swept through the Protestants in the 1730s and 1740s, leaving a permanent impact on American religion. That's why we have the Ten Commandments written on the walls and the doors of the Supreme Court. And that's the reason why our government, constitution, and many things back in those days reflect God in them because of the First Great Awakening. In the United States, the Second Great Awakening, 1800 to 1830, was the second great religious revival in America. Key leader of this revival was Reverend Charles Finney, who preached that great sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. People gripped the backs of the pews for fear the floor would drop out from under them and they'd drop into hell. And they ran to the altar, screaming for repentance, begging God for repentance and forgiveness. The Third Great Awakening in America began in 1857, spread throughout the world, including Australia. Significant leaders of that revival were Dwight L. Moody, Ira D. Sankey, William and Catherine Booth, founders of the Salvation Army, and Charles Spurgeon. There was a fellow by the name of Jeremiah Lanpierre, a businessman, not a preacher, began a series of prayer meetings in New York, September the 21st, 1857. And by early 1858, newspapers were reporting that some 6,000 were in attendance at various prayer meetings throughout New York. 6,000 were attending in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Daily prayer meetings were held at 5 different times in Washington, D.C. to accommodate the crowds. I think we need a renewal, don't we?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Both, all politicians.
Yes. Yes.
Regardless.
Amen.
Amen. This winter, Finney wrote these words about this revival and said, this winter of 1857 and 1858 will be remembered as the time when great revival prevailed. It swept across the land with such power that at the time it was estimated that not less than 50,000 conversions occurred weekly. Oh my. How long has it been since some of us have seen somebody saved? Genuinely born again. Changed from a sinner to a Christian, a follower of Christ. The final great awakening, 1904 and onward, brought about the modern Pentecostal movement with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Azusa Street in Los Angeles, California. Led by William J. Seymour, an African-American preacher, today there are over 500 million Pentecostal believers around the globe, mostly as a result of that revival. I've been to Azusa Street, and when we had the 100th celebration of Azusa Street a couple of years ago, Linda and I went to that celebration. And it was amazing to see the people from around the world that came together as a result of that great revival. However, we as individual believers must remember that we cannot depend on the past. Hello?
Amen.
To keep us spiritually renewed. If you're a Christian because mom and dad was a Christian, you need to get saved again. If you're a Christian because they baptized you when you was a little fella, sprinkled you with water, you need to come to the altar again, get retouched by the presence of God, and let me put you in that tub up there and hold you down until I know you're right. Amen. No. How many know we need constant spiritual renewal? I can't depend on what I saw in revival when I was a kid. Well, that was nice. I sang a song, Brother Lester Myers used to sing a song, oh, 50 years ago, I know, yes, 50 years ago, when I used to see my mother shout and the blessings roll. She'd shout and dance and praise the Lord from the pulpit to the door. I wish I were a boy again some 50 years or more. That was nice. I've been in wonderful revivals in the past, but that won't do me now.
Amen.
I can't live in the past. I have to have spiritual renewal in my life today. So we must, each one of us, seek from time to time to experience spiritual renewal in our own lives. And until we recognize that we need it, we'll not have it. Amen?
Amen.
Till we recognize that I must be revived. We get so used to what we're doing spiritually until we just, well, take it for granted. And there's nothing new in our spiritual being. Listen to the text here this morning. Isaiah 40 and 31 talked about spiritual renewal. He said, but they that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. And that's what revival's all about. Renewing our strength. They'll get renewed to the point that they shall mount up with wings as eagles. And they shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Oh, some of the mornings while I'm standing at the door, I see the saints coming down the hall. Oh, I can barely make it. And this morning, Sister Edna came in, pushing her walker, said, "Woo! Glory, God's good. I feel good. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah." Amen. So, if you're coming into church and, man, I could have slept another hour. I just don't feel like listening to Pastor Lay. He's going to be, this is Communion Sunday, it's going to be quarter after. Might be 20 after. Oh, Lord, help me to make it through. What? Be still back there. Spiritual renewal picks you up, gets you strengthened within your soul and your spirit. All revival seems to be preceded by sincerely seeking after God.
Amen.
Now let me ask you the question. How long has it been since you personally, as an individual, sincerely were seeking after God? How many are busy? Huh? Is that all of us that are really busy? I heard John tell Sherman this morning. Sherman told John, I'm going to come by and pick you up for the next men's breakfast. And Brother Early told you, said, you better be there before 6 o'clock. That man gets out of bed and gets moving. He's well ahead of me in years, but I look at him like I look at Sister Bittinger that lives across the way. I said, Lord, help me. They're moving all day long and up and going and at it. And that's the way we need to be spiritually, amen? Seeking God sincerely. Do we really? The Hebrew word for wait, they that wait, is kava, which means to bind together, look patiently, tarry, wait upon. That's the meaning of the word to wait. If I click my mouse and I'm not on the internet in a 15th of a second, what's matter with this thing? Hello? If I'm sitting behind somebody at the red light and it turns green and they're not moving before it turns green, I said, get out of my way! Hello? We're in a hurry! Supper ready yet? How long does it take that microwave to heat something up? You don't have the dinner thawed out yet. What you been doing, woman?
How we cook.
And we get that way with God.
Yes.
I see people coming to church and they're looking for the button on the back of the pew. Instant blessing. God, you know I'm in a hurry. I got to get in here and out, and I got to get what I want for the whole week now. Give it to me now. But that's not what he said. He said, they that wait. Oh, wow. Wait takes patience. Hello? Wait takes long suffering. Wait means that you're sincerely seeking for the Lord. Amen? They that wait, waiting with what? Waiting with expectation.
Yes.
Am I expecting something to happen? My soul, said the psalmist, wait only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Hallelujah. When I come before the Lord, I'm expecting something. You're coming to church and you're expecting the same old thing, you're going to leave with just what you were expecting. Amen? But if you come with anticipation, God's going to do something in my life. God's going to speak to my heart. God's going to say something to me. Hallelujah! And I'm going to leave here this morning with a blessing in my soul. Then guess what?
Yes.
You'll leave with a blessing in your soul.
Amen.
Are you expecting something from God when you begin to talk to Him? When you begin to wait on Him? Do you have a place to wait on the Lord? Do you have a time to wait on the Lord? Lord, you know I've got this schedule. Yes, I do too. It's right in here. I've got it all. I've got stuff already booked up into next year that I'm going to have to deal with. But that doesn't mean that I don't need to take the time to wait on the Lord. To get someplace before God. To say, God, I need You in my life. And I'm coming to You expecting You to do something. Why are we expecting? The psalmist said, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. He's the reason. reason that I know that if I go to Him, I will receive what I need in my life. Hallelujah. As the days go by, I'm learning very patiently that the government can't supply all my needs. Amen. February, I started receiving Social Security into my bank account. But I checked my balance every month to make sure they got it there. Because I don't know. Hello? I don't know if it's going to continue. You young people, have kids. Have a whole slew of kids. Get them on the workforce. Get them out there working and making money so as I can keep my Social Security. Bessie, get your great-grandkids. Get them raised up. Hurry them up. When they're 15, get them a job. Amen. Put them to work. Nah. How many, when you got married, you expected that darling of yours just to meet all of your needs? Did it happen?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Help me out here. I know she's the perfect bride, but look, she's Hungarian.
I'm going to defend you.
Not everybody is everything you hope they should be. Amen? So we can depend. Oh, I know what. I can depend on Brother Eric. Yep. He'll meet all my needs, all my expectations. He's a preacher. He's God called. God's got His hand on him. Yeah, all I have to do is call Brother Eric, and I've already called him. Are you free to go here, go there, do this, do that? And he says, I'm busy today. Amen. Not everybody can meet it. Who is the one that is our rock, our fortress, our defense? It is Christ. And so I go to Him with expectation, waiting. Not only for expectation, but I wait on the Lord for renewal. Listen to what the psalmist said. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Have you ever been downhearted? I remember my first occasion, third grade, when my girlfriend wouldn't kiss me. Keep your kids coming around. I want to counsel with them. I'll tell them when to get started.
18.
Eric says 18. Bah, humbug. No. Why do we wait on the Lord to renew our hearts? He said, if I wait on Him, then He will renew the strength of my heart. And He will lift me up and give me good courage. How many fight battles? We all have our struggles, don't we? I don't care what age you live in, there are battles to be fought. There are struggles to be fought. I don't care what age you are. There are battles to be fought. Why does this little fella every now and then start crying and hollering? And he's hungry. He's fighting a battle. Or he's wet and he's saying, Sherm, Grandpap, come clean me and get me dried up. Yeah. And his courage is renewed. Hallelujah. Yeah. Regardless of the age, when you get older and you've got a walker and it's hard to get around and be easy to be discouraged and say, nobody cares about me. But, oh, this writer said, when I wait on the Lord, when I get down to business with God, when I have the patience and I long suffer and tarry before the Lord, he said, he courage in my heart. We recognize the need for revival when we recognize our courage again, when we realize that our courage against temptation has waned and our heart's desire has weakened, spiritually out of shape. How many of you can run a marathon, Sister Hunt? How many miles do you run in New York? 26.2 miles. And we're not going to say how, you know, she got a couple of years under her belt, but she can get out there and hoof it. Amen. Her neighbors up there around Edgemont say she goes down the road, they streak went by. Now she can run a marathon. How many of us can run 26.2 miles? 0.2 miles. Huh? We get spiritually out of shape as well. Our spiritual life, our prayer life, our closeness to God, the power of God in our lives, the touch of God on our soul spiritually wanes and we become weakened and out of shape. Not only do we wait with expectation and for renewal, but we wait for instruction. Listen to the psalmist again as he says, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. In other words, the psalmist is saying, I don't know it all. I can learn more from you, Lord. Lead me in the truth, he says, and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. I will wait on you all the day. How many of us have ever taken a day off work just to wait on the Lord? Don't worry about that bug up there. He's closer to heaven than you are. Man, the bug alone, look at me. I'm preaching. Praise the Lord. Amen. Teach me! How many of us know it all spiritually? How many of us can learn more from the Lord?
Amen.
How many of us can get more instruction from Him? That's what renewal's about. That's what waiting, that's what revival is about. Learning more of God. The more you know about Him, the more you want to know. The more you get in touch with Him, the more you want to get in touch with Him. Not only is waiting important, but there's a duty in seeking God. It's our obligation. Amen? Listen, seeking God from a life of captivity. In Deuteronomy, the writer said, but from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Now the writer is talking to the children of Israel who are in captivity. They're away from home. They're in bondage. Get the picture. They're in bondage. And the writer is saying, God is saying to His people, you will find me. You will know me if you seek after me from where you are. Sinners that are in captivity serving their gods need to seek the true God for salvation. Those that are outside of the ark of safety, outside of Christ, those that are living under sin and living in the world, they don't know they're lost until somebody comes and tells them, you're lost, you're without God, you need to find Christ, you need to find God. And He says, if you'll call on me from captivity, He said, with all of your heart. When Brother Eric came in here 14, 15 years, huh?
20.
You've been here 20 years. My Lord, where did the time go to? came to that altar, long hair, earring in his ear. He tells me one, but I thought there were two. Yeah, one looked like a whole host of something that shouldn't be there anyhow. When he came to that altar, he walked out of here a different man.
Hallelujah.
Walked out of here born again.
Yeah.
Redeemed by the grace of God. How many remember the day when you came out of darkness
Hallelujah.
And came into life?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
When you left the world of sin and came into the world of salvation, seek God with all of your heart. How often do we do that? Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Is that all of your heart? God, I really need you. There's very few times that anybody calls me up and say, Pastor Lake, can I get in the church? Yeah, what do you want? I want to pray. I want to get in the altar, and I'm not leaving until God and I get together. Woo! Hallelujah. I suppose we would have revival if things like that began to happen. Like the old prayer meetings there in 1800s. We seek God from a life of captivity. Seek God while there is hope for you. Listen to Isaiah. Seek you the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Do you see what that's talking about? There could be a time when God is not near. There could be a time when you get away from the Lord. You ever been there? You've wandered away from God out in the woods. I remember Brother Knott is not here this morning, Barry and Linda, but he and his went some years ago hunting mushrooms and mountain mushroom. Time's almost here to do it again. And they got up here in the mountain someplace, and Barry got off, and he started wandering around looking for mushroom, and then Ron couldn't find him, and they called the cops, and they called everybody, get out there in the mountain, hunt, get a hold of this fellow, find him, wherever he's at, he's lost, he's wandered off. Have we ever gotten away from God? Have we ever wandered off from Him? Have you ever gone out and called, Hey, Johnny, where are you? And He doesn't answer. And you start walking around, Johnny! Hey, Johnny! I wonder if God at times says and calls names, Where are you? Where have you gotten to? You've gotten too far away from me. You need to get back. And this writer here says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Seek God for spiritual blessings. How many like blessings? The good seed, he says, of righteousness, and you will harvest a crop of love. Wow. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that He may come and shower righteousness upon you. Whose obligation is it to receive blessing from God? All right. Sometimes we approach God and say, what's the matter with you, God? You stingy? Where are my blessings? Send me my blessings. And God is saying to us here, now look, wait a minute. You've got to live a life of righteousness. You've got to get your life straightened up here. Plant the good seed of righteousness and you will harvest a crop of love. And He says, plow up the hard ground. Do you ever get to the place where, well, I don't know if God really cares anymore? Hello? I've been through this, and I've been through that, and I've been through the other thing, and I don't know if God even knows where I live. don't even know if God cares about me anymore. And that's because our hearts have gotten hard. And we have made our own lives resistant against the spiritual things of God. And He's saying, get down before God. Break up the fallow ground. That is, begin to weep before God. Begin to really call on God. Break up your soul, your spirit. You know, when you get to doing this, sometimes it'll cause you some pain. And it'll be some work. You have to do it. How many know that the dust doesn't get off your furniture by you sitting there looking at it? How many know if your carpet is dirty, you got to get the sweeper out, plug it in, and sweep up? Huh? How many know that if you're spiritually cold and indifferent, you're the one that has to break up your spiritual coldness and you have to determine, I need to get a hold of God. Yeah. Remember that lady in the Bible that said, if I can but touch the hem of His garment, I know that I'll be made whole. She had to struggle. She had to fight. She had to press to get into where Jesus was. There was a crowd around Him. It took some doing to get into God. And it's going to take some for us. And if we'll do that, then He says, the blessings of God will come and the showers of God's righteousness will come down upon us. It says, after waiting and seeking, spiritual renewal and its awards will come. I guarantee you, if you seek the Lord, you really sincere about renewal in your own life and revival in your own heart and soul, you get sincere about it and it will happen. You will have revival. Somebody said, draw a circle. Get inside that circle and say, God, send revival inside this circle. Amen. When we get into down to business, it will happen. Spiritual strength will be renewed. Listen to what the writer in Samuel said. You have armed me with spiritual strength for the battle. You have subdued my enemies under my feet. Have you ever had to do spiritual battle? Anybody ever had the devil talk to you? Huh? Anybody ever had temptation? Huh? What did you have to do? You had to get rid of him, didn't you? I remember a service I was having in a little mining town out in western Pennsylvania, Uniontown, Pennsylvania. And that church was bound spiritually. Pastor, when he asked me to come and preach a revival, he said, we are spiritually bound. We're cold and indifferent. He said, I've been preaching and I can't break through. And I was in the altar praying one morning after we got there, and the devil walked in the back door of that church. I could feel his presence. He walked up about halfway up the aisle, and I could feel his presence. I knew exactly where he was. And the Spirit of the Lord came on me. I jumped up out of the altar and started back the aisle, and I said, devil, you get out of here in the name of Jesus. We have victory over you. Yes. And that night that revival broke, hallelujah. People started getting saved, and people that were in the church sitting around there and backslid and still coming to church, they started coming to the altar and get saved. And it went on for 4 weeks of revival. Many got saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, touched of God. But what did we have? We had to divide, we had to bring the devil down. We had to gain victory over him in the name of the Lord. And when you're waiting on the Lord, this writer said, He will arm you with strength for the battle. Amen. Reminds me of high school. We had some bullies. You hear a lot about that these days. Bullies. And they were going around picking. There was one boy in our class, he was a little overweight. And there was a couple that just picked on him. One day, I went up to one of them, I said, "You want to pick on somebody? Pick on me! Come on now, you let him alone. I'm done with this. Get out of his face." That was over. That was done. I challenged him. You got the victory through Christ. You don't need to be defeated by the... Don't be coming in here to church all down in the mouth and dumps and say, "Oh, bless God, the devil's in." You know, I heard one pastor friend of mine, he said one time he had a man in his church, they'd have testimony meeting. And every Sunday night he'd get up and say, "Oh my, the devil has been on my back all week long. And he has just ridden me all week long." And this went on week after week. And finally the pastor one night said, "Brother, if you take that saddle off your back, it wouldn't be so easy for the devil to ride." Sometimes I think some of us like company with the devil. We like being down. We like being all struggle. I like to. Edna, come to church every Sunday like you did this morning. Glory! I'm feeling good. Hallelujah! Whether you feel like it or not, through faith in Christ, I am victorious. Hallelujah! I am not defeated. I am a victor in Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Listen to the writer in Acts as he said, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Did you hear that? You shall receive power if you get into God, if you seek the Lord, if you're filled with the presence of His Holy Spirit. You've got power. You don't have to be ashamed. You have power. He said, "I will give you power and you will be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth."
Yeah.
Here we go walking around, "Oh, I'm ashamed to say anything to somebody about, I don't know how to talk to anybody about the Lord." All you have to do is say, "Jesus saves."
Amen.
Amen. I can get people to open up from between floors on the elevator. Amen. The doors go shut, they can't get out. I say, "You going up or down?" Amen. They look at me, "What do you mean? This elevator's going up right now." I said, "How far are you going?" "Going clear to the top floor?" "I'm telling you, one of these days I'm going further than the top floor. Are you ready to go?" Door opens, they're gone. But they got a message. Amen? We have power in Christ. And with that power, we defeat the enemy and spread the word of Christ. Listen to Micah. Micah said, "But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin." I was talking to a young evangelist some years ago. Used to have an old preacher up in Pennsylvania. D.R. Moreland was his name. Had a great big nose. And people would make fun of his nose. And he'd tell him, "See, you want to know why my nose is so big?" He said, "I kept it out of other people's business and it got its full growth." He and this young evangelist going down the street one day. Here come this fella sashaying up the street, you know, looked like a Harley man that was in Hell's Angels. And as they approached, old Brother Moreland looked at him square in the eye and said, "Son, you're going straight to hell." Woo! Young evangelist said, "I turned around." Said, "I was about to head out." He said, "If you don't get right with God, you're going to go to hell and die without Christ." And said before they left, tears was rolling down that fellow's cheeks. Amen. Old Brother Moreland sitting in a restaurant full of people, and they prayed over their meal. And after they get finished praying, a lady at the next table said, "I saw you praying. Would you pray for me? I'm having all kinds of trouble in my life. Would you pray for me?" He picked up his knife and he banged on the plate. Everybody stopped eating, started looking around. He said, "This lady's got trouble. We're going to prayer." And let everybody get down and pray. And they got down on their knees, the whole restaurant, and started praying. And said there wasn't a dry eye in the place when they got up.
Amen.
He had power.
Amen.
Power in Christ. Power to do the work of the Lord. Why? Because he was renewed. The renewed will soar to new heights. Hallelujah. Mount up with wings as eagles. How many want to fly?
Amen.
We're not talking about South Airlines, Southern Airlines now. They got holes in their planes. We're not talking about... We're going to fly with Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Mount up with wings. Wouldn't you like to get up in the morning and say, "Praise God, another day that I can witness for the Lord, that I can live for Christ, that I can live for Jesus." Hallelujah. Renew your life of service to God without weakness, where you can run and not be weary and walk and not faint.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you what, it would make my day if everybody coming to church every Sunday without fail to from now to the time I retire, and you walk through the door, you walk in saying, "Praise God, I feel like serving the Lord."
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. God's good. God's wonderful. God is marvelous. I've been talking to God, and God's with me, and I'm with God. We're on the winning side. Amen. The spirit will be renewed. The psalmist said, "Create in me." David said, "Create in me a clean heart."
Yes.
O God, and renew or revive a right spirit within me. Look at your heart. Look down deep inside. What kind of a spirit do you have? What kind of a context with God do you have? Where are you at, you and God together? Are you on the same page? Is the Spirit of God living within you? Or is there an emptiness? Is there a void? Spiritual renewal needs to be continuous. Paul said, "But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed." How? Day by day. Hallelujah. This is not just something we're going to get next Sunday, Tuesday. This is something we're going to have every day. New revival, new stirring of God in my heart, in my life, in my soul. Are you hungry? Are you ready? Are you really hungry for revival, for renewal of God in your life? To have revival, you must want revival. To get revival, you must need revival. To stay revived, you must constantly want and seek after God. I'm telling you, it's a personal matter, and it is up to you to receive spiritual renewal. Don't blame your spiritual coldness on the church. Don't blame it on the preacher. Don't blame it on your spouse or anybody else. It's your obligation to be spiritually renewed in Christ.
Amen.
Every day.
Amen.
I cry out, "Lord, revive me again."
Hallelujah.
How about you?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
You want revival?
Yes.
Let's bring it. Amen. I've told you how to do it. I've told you what it's all about. Now, it's up to you. Get her done. And I'm not Larry. Stand with me. Praise the Lord. Glory. I said, hallelujah. I said, I want more of God.
Yes.
I said, I need more of God.